reverence. What does it mean to revere? Respect with awe, with appreciation, with love. God's name is holy and reverent. The Lord proclaimed his name to Moses. God's position, God's qualities, God's nature, God's accomplishments, God's purposes are thrilling. God made us, God recreated us. God gave us a mind that we debauched, he's given us the mind of Christ. God made us sinless, we sinned, he's restored us through Jesus Christ to a forgiven state. What more could he do? As he asks through the prophet Isaiah, what more could I do for my vineyard that I have not done unto it? As we think about this, our hearts go out in love. Because he first loved us, we love him. We cry out, as Mary did, at his feet, my Lord and my God. Always at his feet. Always in awe and love, in respect, in acceptance, in appreciation, in reverence. Part number one. A part of reverence is a sense of God's holiness. Holiness. Moses was told to put off his shoes because the place on which he stood was holy ground. Isaiah the prophet looked into the most holy place and saw the cherubim and listened to the threefold cry of praise to the threefold personages, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Majesty, aloofness, inscrutableness, distance, power, omnipotence. All these qualities add to the mystery of deity that produces reverence. There is nothing commonplace about God. We do not call him Daddy. We do not familiarize ourselves too much. We call him Father in dignity, in supremacy, in sublimity. He is the Most High. We glimpse him afar off, but we sense him near. There is the sublime, there is the proximate. There is the ineffable, there is the intimate. God is near, but God is afar off. God is great, but it's gentle Jesus, meek and mild. All this adds to the mystery of the reverence that we feel for God. Part number two. The first angel begins his message with a twofold command. Fear God. I notice that our lesson writers declare that to fear in the biblical sense does not mean to be afraid. I do not agree with this statement completely and would suggest that you think about it. Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake when he confronted God. Hebrews chapter 12. The presence of God terrifies. The word fear in both the Old and the New Testaments also mean to run scared. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If the child does not in some sense fear his father, he will never really obey. There must be in the beginning a realization of helplessness, of tremendous power, of unexplainable mystery, of man's littleness and God's greatness. But perfect love casts out fear. And when perfect love is attained, the fearing Moses is moved into a perfectly loving Moses. Some evangelists say that the gospel cannot be made a fire escape, to escape the fires of hell. I think that argument has a place. That's why it's given in the Bible. It's not the end, it's not the goal, but it's the beginning. Sometimes we need to hit somebody over the head with a baseball bat to get their attention. Saul of Tarsus was afraid. Those that were riding with him to Damascus were afraid. Bible characters have been afraid. To realize that everything comes up in judgment sends a shiver of fear down our spines. But remember, this is not the end. This is only the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The realization that the hour of judgment is come drives us to find an attorney. Jesus is the attorney. The realization that we must give an account needs a witness. Jesus is the witness. We must choose a good venue for the judgment. Let's choose it where our Father presides and Jesus Christ decides, who's paid our penalty. So the chill of fear, through understanding, gives rise to the thrill of love, to comprehension, to understanding of what has been purposed for us. Part number 3. Reverence His holy name. His holy name is all He stands for. I saw a baby buggy one time called a Rolls Royce. I have seen motorcycle taxis in Manila with the Mercedes-Benz triple star on its front. Rolls-Royce, Mercedes-Benz, conjure up quality. They are names that have been embedded, impregnated with values. God's name is such. There are over 300 in the Bible. I have counted. Epithets, Lockyer has counted more. All His name stands for is holy, set aside, unattainable, sublime, eternal. Now, how am I to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name? Now, I have taken that name. I am a Christian. Christ is part of what I have assumed. As a Christian, there are certain things that I stand for. When I hear of the conflict in the Middle East and read of PLO forces, of Israeli forces, and of Christian forces, I shudder to think of the atrocities that the Christian mercenaries carried out in that prisoner of war camp. Christian. By doing deeds, I unhallow that name. I drag it in the dust. I besmirch it. I give the lie to it. So when I say, hallowed be thy name, I am not looking up to heaven only. I'm also looking to the part of that name that is attached to me. And I say, Lord, help me by my life to keep that name hallowed, holy in every sense, dedicated. And how do I do this? By my words, by my life, by my example. I don't do anything to profane it, to drag it out and put it before the temple, profanum, outside the sacred precincts. I don't. I try to keep that holy name revered. And I try to get other people through my life to revere and respect and love that name. To say, I would like to be such a Christian and be the little light that deflects attention to the great light of the world. Part number 4. The Sabbath is a sign of God's sovereignty and an aid to reverence. God and the Sabbath. He kept it. He rested on it. He hallowed it. He blessed it. And I can enter into that relationship with the Creator through it. The sign that He made in it, He kept. It's a sign of sanctification. His name is there. God, Creator, His jurisdiction, heaven and earth, His power. Everything is in this memorial. And if I enter in spirit and truth into a consideration of all that He wants me to think of on the Sabbath day, the Sabbath will be a means by which I will reverence His name much more. The Sabbath is a badge of loyalty. The Sabbath not only shows what God is, but the Sabbath shows what God would make man. And when I show my loyalty by keeping the Sabbath and acknowledge Him as the Creator, He says, I am the Lord that sanctify you. And the Sabbath shall be a badge, a sign. With the Bible under my arm, I walk to church on Sabbath. My neighbors know that I am keeping the seventh day, that I acknowledge the Creator, that I acknowledge that in 6 days He made this world, that He is my sanctifier. Just as the manna in the wilderness called attention to the fact that Friday was the preparation day, double portion, but the Sabbath was the rest day, no manna to be gathered. So the Sabbath was a miracle day. He gave the bread of 6 days to cover over 7 days. It didn't spoil. So I acknowledge God not only as the Creator, but the sustainer of my life. So my Sabbath observance is an act of worship that helps to reverence the Creator, the Sabbath Maker. Part number 6, focus of the week. We must worthily bear the name of Christ. We are called Christians. Thou shalt not make a wrong use of the name of the Lord. That is, we should not wreck God's name. Can you imagine the name Rolls-Royce on a wreck of a car? Or a Mercedes on a wreck of a car? Can you imagine the name Christ on a human who has made a shipwreck of his life? Tithes, health reform, Sabbath keeping. When we let down these standards, what do? When we fail with these doctrines that Seventh-day Adventists represent, what do? We desecrate the name. We desecrate the name of Christ and the name of Seventh-day Adventists. And God's name is no longer hallowed and reverent, but maybe blasphemed in the community in which we live. And as we think of the focus of this week, let us pray that by our lives, by our worship, by our attitudes, we will call attention to the fact that the name we bear is holy and reverent.